The Right to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook, download the app, use promo code RTRS, brought to you by LL Pavorsky Jewelers, where rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged. What else? By Nature, pet foods, slow cooked with Superfusion. Get 20% off your first By Nature order at Chewy by using the promo code RTRS20. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process and Kinetic Skateboarding. Get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. Well, it's such a ride. It's just such a wild ride this team has been for the last 7 years. Since we last talked to you, Ben Simmons is basically out for the year. Joel Embiid got hurt too. What else? Anything else? Norvell Pell played. Josh Richardson scored 30 points. It's been a weird time. So we'll talk about all of it. Sign up for the newsletter. Comes out every Thursday. New promo codes for merch every other week. That is rightsrickysanchez.com/newsletter. I think that's all I got. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef.
Larry, sweetie, the man is here.
We will write y'all. We will write.
We will write.
Even when it went wrong,
we will write.
We will write. We was right, y'all.
We will write.
So say the name.
Say the name.
We will write y'all.
We will write.
Even when it went wrong,
we will write.
We will write, y'all.
We will write.
So say the name.
Say the name.
Say the name.
Welcome to the Rights of Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who is always ready for a loose body and to clean it out. That is Mike Levin.
I honestly wish that they had lost by 30. I would have
tonight.
That had happened. I wish that I could just come on and just be mad, but they played hard and there was joy there, and I don't want any joy. I just want to be mad.
Yeah, it was sort of a. It was the most deflating game, because if they had gotten blown out by 30, we could have been mad. If they had won, we could have been wow, look at that one. But instead, they just competed and lost.
Yeah.
It's the worst kind of game.
Alyssa was why is your face like that? They're up by 4. I'm they're lose. They're going to lose. They're
going to
lose this game. And they did, which is fine. They had no business being in it at all. Embiid got hurt. Whispers are that he's probably going to be fine. Maybe he takes a rest day the next game.
Yeah, they have a back-to-back coming Tuesday and Wednesday anyway, so would assume he would have missed one of those. And then Wednesday is Toronto, so you would assume he played against Toronto.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't fucking... I mean, Ben, we haven't talked since Ben's official out for the season diagnosis, but AU tweeted that they had 8 games to handle this without a catastrophe, and they've had basically 4. by my count. And you tell me if I'm missing any. But Embiid and Shake getting into a fight 5 minutes into the game, slapping the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's injury after the season.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Richardson totally forgetting how to defend. To me, that is a catastrophe, especially in light of the Ben injury. Josh becoming one of the worst defenders I've ever seen is catastrophic. And then now Embiid's injury on his with his ankle on the stanchion. But hopefully he's fine. Hopefully... Josh is, takeover tonight. Maybe gives him a little bit of a boost.
So stupid. The whole thing's so stupid. All right. Well, do you want to do the game? I don't even know what we do first. Do you want to do Ben Simmons first? Or
I don't. What do you say? He's out. It sucks.
Well,
That's not how a podcast works. No, I mean, it sucks that they don't have, this team is not it was built stupidly from the beginning, and then Brett has never figured out a way to make it work. I think a better coach probably could have. I think a better front office would have given him a better thing to work with. It's both. Like, the problems with this team are, like, everyone. Up and down the roster, up and down the front office, up and down the coaching staff. Like, it's everybody. And it's just, like, you watch other teams play. I think you said this last time we spoke. Like, I'm watching a ton of basketball, and you watch other teams, how easy it is. You watch Portland, how easy is it for them to, like, get into one of their sets? Just one. And the Sixers play this, like, dumb, slow, either there's no plays whatsoever or, like, incredibly methodical. Like, it takes 6 seconds to make a pass, and they have to, you know, Tobias has to accept a pass, like, 28 feet from the rim as he's, like, holding a defender back who's just, like, hedging hard because there's, like, well, you're not going to beat me backdoor because they never, almost never do.
Can I ask you something, though?
And they make these, like, slow, looping, high-low passes. Like, Horford just, like, trying to, like, do a little touch pass inside to Embiid or the reverse. Or Tobias or anybody, and it's just, like, so telegraphed. Everything they do is so telegraphed and so fucking stupid. I'm tired of watching this goddamn team, man. Replace everybody. Start over.
Just like Tony T said, like, maybe a year ago, we just got to do the process maybe two or three more times before we... All right. Let me talk about the offense for a second, because obviously I agree with you. Everyone who watches, and that's why, by the way, anytime somebody sees, like, Alec Burks, that's why everyone thinks he's amazing, because he just, like, just takes the ball and dribbles it and shoots it. Like,
yeah, he does what Jimmy did for this team, except without the passing. Alec Burks is, I think, one of the worst passers I've ever seen
he's
in my life.
He's very bad.
Horrendous as a passer. I'd rather him just not do it. Just don't even entertain the idea, because when it happens, it's worse. So just go get your shot, go to the line, do anything.
But what's interesting about the Sixers teams is that prior to the last 2 years, even when they were bad... And because it was one of the things that we said a lot, but we also read a lot, and was true when they were bad. And then the first year when they were good was that even when they were bad, they took good shots. Like, it seemed like they were running things that made sense in current NBA. They took threes and they got shots at the rim, and they were just very bad at doing all of those things. It's just super interesting that, like, they would do all of the right things. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons for this, but they would do all of the right things when they were bad and they couldn't hit the shots. And then they get good and everything just becomes so much harder and sludgier. It's just weird.
Well, they just did all of the opposite stuff you're supposed to do. Like, I think there's going to be, again, a resurgence of Embiid or Simmons, which one do you build around type conversations, because the national media has nothing else to say. And so there's going to be those conversations. But obviously these guys aren't the perfect fit with each other. Obviously their skills don't complement each other perfectly. They're not, you know, Draymond, Steph, and Clay. But they're still really good basketball players who can do a lot of things on the court. And all you need to do is surround them with guys who can dribble and guys who can shoot. And the Sixers were like, I know what to do here. The opposite of that. And so, like, they don't have, like, Ben, Joel, and Al, like, just cannot work. It won't work. And so prior to today, I was like, there's a chance, just for simplicity's sake, that Al, with a little bit more creation ability, and Ben off the court, like, they might look better. Like, they might. There's a decent chance that on offense, things clean up and they can look better and the court can be a little bit more spread and all that stuff.
Well, especially because Al will sit on the perimeter and shoot. He's not, like, a ball demander or anything. Like,
right.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, aside from that, like, their hands were kind of tied with Josh, because they had limited places to trade Jimmy or where he wanted to go. And they, you know, getting Josh was better than basically getting nothing.
Getting nothing, yeah.
But even with, like, you know, Tobias and the Jimmy trade, it was just like, yeah, you need help. I get that they're complimentary with JJ, who was very helpful when he was here. I think JJ was, like, really the crux of the offense. Like, the threat of JJ, and for, you know, a little bit Shamit, of, like, running around screens and being dynamic. And even though I think JJ has actually added a lot of passing to his game somehow, or just the system in New Orleans, like, allows or encourages more passing. I think he was like the whole offense. And now without him, it's just like they're not running anything. They just don't run any plays. And when they don't, a lot of times they're just like scrambling or bumping into each other. This was like a nice game. And like, I'm really happy for the guys who played that like look good. I'm happy for Mike Scott that he looked playable in backup center minutes and hit a couple shots. Matisse was all over the place. Josh played well. Alec Burks played out of his mind. But like, when was the last time this like front office made like a savvy move? And I have an answer. I think it's the Covington contract.
Yeah.
I think that was the last like savvy thing. They've done like smart things, I guess, or like
positive
things.
Well, they've made good draft picks. Like Shamet was a good draft pick.
Shake was a good draft pick.
Yeah,
I think Matisse was a good draft pick, although they telegraphed it and had to trade assets to get him. And getting value at that point in the draft is not a guarantee. You can look around the league in other drafts and see how many duds are there.
Yeah, for sure.
But like,
they've made good picks. But by the way, so did like Billy King make good picks too. Sure. If you make enough draft picks, and I'm not saying that they haven't made good picks. They definitely have made good picks. But if you make enough draft picks, you're going to draft some good players.
Totally.
I mean, chances are.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But I'm just the bar is so fucking low. And like you got dealt this such, I know we've go back to this all the time, but you got dealt this hand of like, hey, you have Embiid and Simmons. These are two of the most dynamic young players in the game in a long time on the same team. And let's just like fumble the shit out of this like over and over again. And so I don't have any faith in the front office to be able to rebound from this. I don't have any faith in the coaching staff to be able to like make a good team great or make a great team a championship team. I just think that you should just like strip it down, start with Embiid and Simmons and the guys on rookie contracts and I guess Tobias and go from there. Just try something else. Try other people because it's just like let's build like we've been talking about consistency a lot and how the Sixers haven't had any of it year after year.
So change everything.
But like I don't want to build consistency with the people who have fucked it up for 3 years,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. I'm very frustrated all the time. And it's stupid because this is a fucking, we're in a pandemic. A lot of people are dead. A lot of people are going through like tough times. And then the Sixers are supposed to be here making us happy. And they're doing the opposite. They're making me, I know it's a lot of responsibility to put on them to like, you know, make it easier for people that who have like lost their jobs or have lost loved ones. But like,
well, it's part of the gig.
Sports are bringing people together. Like,
yeah.
Fucking do it. Do your job and bring me together.
Well, it's weird for me to do the podcast when you do my rap. I don't know how to do this. Matisse is handsome. Shake reminds me of Tracy McGrady. I don't know how to do your role.
No, that's good.
I agree with all of it. The only bad place they could be in, I would assume. I agree with you on the Simmons and Embiid thing. The only bad position they may put themselves in that is that they may make this two things that could create them making a decision to move one of them. Let's say the two things that could put them in that position. One are creating such a tenuous situation around them by what they've done over the last few years that they cause more frustration than necessary with both of those players,
sure.
Which is possible. I'm not saying that it's the case right now. I'm just saying that it's possible. And the other thing is they could back themselves into such a corner, like asset and contract wise that like they don't know what other move to make.
Well, they're certainly maxed out right now in a way that they haven't been since the team signed Elton Brand in 2008 and like locked those guys in and was like, okay, here's the team. I remember I was working at AAA in Northeast Philly. I was in college and it was like, I remember either, I forget what, I might have been writing Liberty Ballers at the time. I don't even remember. I think I was. And they signed Elton Brand long term and it was like, okay, this is the team. Here we go. But it's going to be good. So, of course, we're locked in long term, but like, what a perfect collection of pieces to be locked into. Locked in a room with all of our best friends. And that didn't work out. But I think that legitimately, The only thing I care about is the Oklahoma City pick. Conveying right now, it's looking good. This loss was a good loss for the pick.
For that, yeah. By the way, good news tonight. Well, news. Some call it next to Gehrig and you know the hitting streaks. Who has the hitting streak in Major League Baseball? It's not. All I remember is Paul Molitor when I was like 10 doing it. Was it DiMaggio? Was it Joe DiMaggio has the hitting streak?
I truthfully don't remember. Ted Williams. Ronald Zanotti came close.
Yeah. Like some of the, just the more legendary streaks in sports history. One of them came to a close tonight as JJ Redick's streak of making the playoffs for every year in his career with the Portland win went away tonight.
I think if they were to cut him right now and like some team had a hardship waiver, maybe they could sign him. Maybe like the Nets could sign him. He could go back to his beloved Brooklyn.
Well, let me tell you, that when you name your podcast like In the Bubble, that's and then good. You get kicked out the next
that's
week.
Good. That's a lot of
fuckhead. What compounds their issue cap wise and asset wise is whatever. I don't know what's going to happen to the cap next year. You know. But whatever it is not going to be good. And it's certainly not going to make them getting the situation that they're out of easier.
No. And that's why the pick matters so much, is that they need this pick to convey so they can dangle it to trade whoever they want to trade to get out of some of this, to like open things up on the court. Whether that's like, I don't know. I mean, Buddy Hield's playing well right now, but like he's kind of buried in the rotation in Sacramento. And so if they think that like Rashawn's not a legitimate, I don't know. Horford seems like a possibility there. It seems like they have like they've been horny for him for a while. So if it's like a Horford and a pick or two or whatever for Buddy and whatever, that would open things up a lot for us for sure.
I want to talk about an Embiid thing, and then I want to circle back to Ben. But right before we talk about Embiid, let's talk about our sponsor, By Nature Pet Foods. Had a new good girl club member, Eva. She is 6 years old. I think she's not from here. I think she's from Colorado. There's Eva. By Nature Pet Food is just really good for your pet. Dog food and cat food. You want it to be good, right? They're eating it every day and you don't know for shit, right? Like you're just a person and you see the pet food and it just looks like pellets. The difference with the By Nature pellets, as I've tasted, is that they are slow cooked. So the nutrients stay in the food. So your pet gets more nutrients and healthier. There's a real difference. A difference in heart support, brain support, hip and joint health. You know we're into joints. Immune system support. The company, By Nature, third generation owned and operated family business. They've been around for 40 years and never had one recall. By Nature. So go to Chewy.com. Put By Nature food in your cart. Your very first order, if you use the code RTRS20, you're going to get 20% off of By Nature. Then you send me the picture, put them in the good boy club or a good girl club. Also, not just the slow cooking, the premium ingredients that are in this, the premium proteins, the first ingredient on all the food is the animal protein, and that is good. Apple cider vinegar, spinach, blueberries, ginger, coconut oil. You don't have to worry about, is it an indoor cat, outdoor cat, small dog, big dog, that the food is so good. It's good for all ages, all sizes, all that. I'm telling you, it's good for Rebel. It's good for all the good boy club and good girl club members. It's good for your dog or cat too. Again, go to Chewy.com. Use the promo code RTRS20 for 20% off your first order. And thanks again to By Nature for donating all of that food for the to the Brandywine Valley SPCA for their pet pantry. They give away pet food for families that are having trouble affording it right now. And By Nature at this point has donated thousands of pounds of food for those, both dog and cat food, which is awesome. So thank you. By Nature, the only pet food in the world.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, Embiid. So let me go to this. Joel Embiid, I want to make sure I get this right. So Embiid leaves with, they ambiguously say ankle injury, which I hated, by the way. Say it's a sprain, don't just say ankle injury. But they come back from the break And his last four games, I know I'm going to sound like a baby here, but his last four games, 37 minutes, 33, 31, 34 in 7 days. Like,
yeah.
I bet if you were to go through, and I'm just like eyeballing it, every 7 day period through the entire season, you would rarely find that many minutes, especially when your playoff, like, there's no home court anymore, no home remember? Court,
and you want the fucking six anyway.
Get, right.
If you're going to succeed in this, you're going to, like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. They're not, whatever. But
well, but it matters for his health. It matters in
no,
a...
No, I'm saying as far as, like, the seeding doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah,
anything,
yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
should care less about their seeding and more about my Oklahoma City Thunder pick. Yeah. That's the only thing we're playing for.
Look, eventually he's got to be a big boy and play, but there's just no reason why in these games, why, like, you look at that game the other night, the Milwaukee-Dallas game, which went to overtime. Did it go to double overtime even?
It did.
Well, Milwaukee-Dallas game, Milwaukee loses the game.
Oh, no, sorry. That game went to single overtime. Denver-Utah went to double overtime.
Okay. I'm looking at the Milwaukee-Dallas box score the next day. Went to overtime. Huge game, close, and I look at Giannis's minutes, and it's 33. And they, you know what I mean? Like, they played 53 minutes in that game, and somehow they kept Giannis to 33.
But they clinched one, and they genuinely have nothing to play for. The Sixers still need to, like, build up a system or a way that they can win and stuff. So I get why you'd want to be like, let's get everybody on, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. The problem isn't we're paying Joel Embiid too many minutes. I get it, why it certainly makes him more likely to get injured, but, like, what are you saving him for? I agree with you, and also it's just like they gotta do something. They gotta start to resemble a basketball team.
Okay, so I want to talk about the Ben thing, and then just a few of the things in the two games we had. First of all, just a classic. I don't want it to be lost on anyone the classicness of the Ben Simmons injury timeline.
Yeah,
It went from he was hurt, and then not conspicuously at all, Woe just tweeting out that there's no pain and no swelling. Now, mind you, when Embiid gets hurt tonight, we don't have an update for 40 minutes at all. But somehow Woj has no pain, no swelling, but for some reason Ben Simmons is not going into the game. Then we have a clean MRI from Shams the next day. Now, I did talk to a doctor who said that it's very possible that you can have a clean MRI and have the same injury he had. So that all adds up. But to go from I don't know why. I need to know who is leaking to Woj and why they are that he feels totally fine. Like, what is going on here? Like, what? Whatever. And then he's getting surgery and he's out essentially for the year. So, and that's all in the span of 2 days. So I cannot let it go away that for some reason that happened. I kept trying to tell Sixers Adam for the 2 days that something was funny. Something felt funny that night. Something felt funny.
You're never going to lose much money betting on the Sixers being injured. something wrong happening.
Yeah, where is DraftKings? I'm scrolling through the DraftKings app looking for the someone gets injured thing. So it's weird in that I wish two things. First of all, I think their ceiling is actually the same with or without him this year. I thought they're probably going to lose in the second round with or without him, actually. What is strange, what is unfortunate to me is that for the game, for the three regular season games that he played in, he did not look good at all. His defense wasn't Simmons' defense, and it was like outright bad sometimes. Mm-hmm. He shot 1-3 the entire time. And
one more than I thought it would be. I think it was, who set it up? Was it AU? I had 0 for 0.
Yeah. Oh, really?
My prediction.
I think I had 2 for 4. So, wait, was it AU? Yeah, it was AU. Yeah, it was in the round table, right? It was in the round table. I'm disappointed, not just that he got hurt. I hope he is fine, but that we did not see the rest of what he was going to do. I guess I just wanted to see him either fail or succeed.
Yeah,
like I either wanted to see him I wanted to see it kick in because at the time I started thinking to myself, well, is he doing this because he's being a baby because he's not the point guard, or like what's going on? And last thing, I'm sorry, this is a lot of stuff. We can go back to April, and you remember when that article came out from Jackie McMullen, where essentially everybody was saying that like shooting wasn't a mental thing for him. His brother was, his coach was, like everybody was saying it. And this article, because it was at the height of the craziness of the COVID stuff, like it just sort of came and went and nobody said anything about it. But I guess I just want to know more what's going on. And it has very like I'm starting to get like weird fucking Markel vibes from the whole fucking thing. I guess I just wanted to see him either snap out of it and play great defense and shoot a few times, or go into a shell so we could wonder what was wrong. But this is like the, aside from him being injured, and again, I hope he's fine, is like the worst possible outcome, because I don't know what to make of those three games.
Yeah, a couple things. I think that it should not be lost on anyone that through a series of like legitimately crazy things, I guess Simmons isn't that crazy. Sometimes you just get. I think the court in the bubble is weird, and people are slipping all the time. I have issues with the bubble court, but Simmons and Embiid in their 3 years together have never entered the playoffs together healthy, which is wild. Mm-hmm. Embiid first year took Markel's bad shoulder to his face, and almost broke his whole face off, and then Embiid's digestive tract fell off last year. I honestly don't even remember.
I mean, he told us that he couldn't even jump.
Right. But the reason he was out was because of flu and.
Yeah, I think it was a little of both. I do think it was a little of both, but yeah.
But I think this is going to sound like an excuse for the team. I don't take it as one. I think the organization all year long was saying, we're built for the playoffs, we're built for the playoffs. And I think Joel internalized that a lot because of the fact that he hasn't been healthy for the playoffs since he entered the league. And so he was lumbering a lot. He was not playing with joy because he didn't want to, get hurt or whatever. And I think the team generally kind of just put all that in. And then especially when they came to the bubble and was like, we got 8 games. Let's not get hurt. We feel good. You guys know how hard we played in practice. We really believe in this team. Nobody wants to face us in the playoffs. Joel said as much on the podcast. And so that's, I think, why Ben and Josh both looked so mediocre and everything was just like, yeah, we'll be fine, whatever. And I don't think that that's a way to do anything.
No.
We've talked about them as a flip the switch team before and like not deserving it. And I think that that's just kind of Ben and Joel's personalities. Like there was a good Kevin Arnovitz story about Giannis and Luka. And it was just kind of just examining the two of those guys as kind of the next, faces of the league and how interesting they both came from Europe. And Luka was like, a star when he was 16 and Giannis was playing in some random ass league and has gotten so much better.
Friend of the pod, Kevin Arnovitz.
That's right. And and in there, there's a very unhinged story of Giannis in like the first practice back from into the bubble or something when he like dives for a loose ball at the end of a scrimmage, like, and jumps over, an announce table or something where he almost like fell off the practice floor because it's a raised floor. Mm-hmm. And like that set the tone for the team, and they will play hard because he's playing hard. And I think that's insane. And I don't think he should have done that, but I think there's something to be said for every time Giannis is out there, he's playing his ass off. Like mm-hmm. he's never taking plays off. And I think that trickles down. I think that trickles down to everybody. And Ben and Joel intermittently play very hard and intermittently look good. But how often are we talking about this team looking sluggish or like letting other guys back into it and all that stuff? And I'm not a killer instinct guy. You know I'm not. And ultimately it's going to come down to talent. But I think that there is a way that you play that like sets the tone and establishes like who you guys are. And it's hard to, this team has never flipped a switch and they don't deserve to be treated as if they will. And now without Ben, it's obviously different and so much is on Joel's shoulders, but I'm just tired of them like not being like always locked in. Like in an 82-game season, sure, there's going to be a couple duds. But there were so many duds this year. Energy was always an issue. Lethargicness, like just like waiting around. And that also stems from the fact that there's no go-to offensive set that they feel good about. Like everything across the board. I mean, even so much as like their defense in a pick and roll. Embiid drops in a pick and roll because he can do it, right? He can defend the rim and the ball handler at the same time. And usually the best that they're going to get is like a running floater, which some guys are good at, like CJ McCollum's obviously good at it. And some other guys, TJ Warren is obviously good at it. And some, but usually that's a shot you take. But everybody else is just like, hey, sort of fight around the screen and Al's going to drop or whoever's back is going to drop. And they'll just kind of get whatever they want. And there's just too many easy looks. Too many times where we just foul where it's stupid. Too many times where they're just like waiting too long in the shot clock and not making the pass and not pushing the ball and like just standing around. It's just generally the energy level of this team has always been low this season. And I think that stems from Brett. I think that obviously stems from Fit. And I think it stems from Joel and Ben like not setting the tone and not taking like a leadership role in this team and being like, no, this is how we're going to play and we're going to fucking win the championship. And it's a lot. There's not one reason why this team isn't where they have to be, but it's all of it. And that's why I kind of just want to like flush it all down and like throw away the tape and start over and like cut some guys and just move the fuck on with a new group of people that we can actually win with.
I truly don't know how to handle when you say these things. I agree with all of you. One thing we said during the season was that, and it was to your point about the energy from Embiid and Simmons, and like they do carry themselves in a way that they don't deserve, like they have not earned. And by the way, there are very few teams in the history of the NBA that can just flip from being a 50-win team to a championship team.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Lakers and LeBron.
Yeah, and by the way, most of those teams still win 60 games during the regular season. Sure. Like they coast the regular season and right. still beat everyone senseless, you know?
For the most part, the 20, yeah. whatever, 17 LeBron Cavs.
Yes.
Were just like, they were a terrible team except for LeBron, and they still...
Them and the second year of the Rockets, but by and large, like those teams, you know, do that. But the other thing is that like you have to, like, when you're going through your steps, we say all the time that they're still young, right? They're young, yada,
which
yada,
they are.
Yada. That, sure. And by the way, Embiid's 26, 25? I mean, what is he? Like, he's getting into prime territory, by mm-hmm. the way. Before you get to championship, you have to do that thing where you obliterate the league first for a whole season.
Yeah.
And sometime, yeah. Yeah, like, you know, 27 is your prime. 27 to 20, and by the way, he's a big man. You still need that season, like Giannis had last year. Like every team does this. The Warriors did it. The LeBron has done it. Where you go from up and coming team to all of a sudden you are fucking unbeatable in the regular season.
Yeah.
And maybe in the playoffs you look back and go, well, maybe we shot a load. We weren't ready in the regular season.
But they never even did that. 16 games of that. 3 years ago, and that's been it.
Yeah, yeah. They don't deserve it. And by the way, and we'll get to it because I wanted to ask the Stan Van Gundy question. But like, part of it's the coach too. It's the play. Like,
it's 100% the coach.
It's 100% the coach.
Everybody.
But what I would say, the coach can't get them from, if we're in phase one. If phase one is this, and phase two is obliterate the league, and phase three is championship, I'm not sure that a coach can get a team from 2 to 3. I think that's on the players. I think the players have to do that, but they can probably do it, help them get from 1 to 2. Mm-hmm. And I don't think
Budenholzer certainly did get them from 1 to 2.
Mm-hmm. There's examples all over the league of that happening. I think you could even say
Steve Kerr.
Well, Steve Kerr got them from 2 to 3.
But also wanted to, but they were like a mediocre team before he got there. Like they were like young, like Steph and Clay are fun. And then they hired a real coach that wasn't mm-hmm. Mark Jackson. And I was like, oh, they're one of the best teams of all time.
What did they win in Mark Jackson's last year? I think they won like 50 games, but yes, you're right. Anyway, they it is on them, but it's also on Ben and Joel.
Yeah.
And Ben and Joel.
It's everybody. And I love Tobias also. Yeah. Like I respect mm-hmm. Tobias. I think he's a great leader. I watched the video of Brett in the locker room having Burks ring the bell in last game. Mm-hmm. And Tobias noted that it was Korkmaz's birthday, and he did a good job on, who was it? Terrence Ross as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was nice. I always appreciate that. But like Tobias, man, like you're playing against a team with really no big wing defenders. It's Carmelo Anthony. It's Mario Hezonja. It's like, you know, Zach Collins, who's a good defender, but shouldn't, you know, if you're getting paid Tobias Harris money, you should be able to get by Zach Collins. And he had no foul shots tonight.
he's like skilled in not getting
Joel Embiid is out, and Ben Simmons is out. Court's yours, man. Like, if you whatever you want to do, like, go take it. And he didn't force things, for sure, which I appreciate. I if he did start to force things, and you see plenty of superstars do that stuff, and it's like, well, you don't have it tonight, or you're not actually that good. But he lets it come to him. That's great. But you gotta be able to get to the line. And there's a couple times where he gets to his spots, gets where he needs to be, and just doesn't decelerate, doesn't slow down to be able to absorb the contact. And you see how valuable it is, just like getting to the line. Look how much Dame gets to the line. He's a good free throw shooter. Like he's scared of the line. That's not the issue at all. It's just like he needs to consciously work on that. It is a skill, and he doesn't have it. And that is the thing that is keeping him from being like, I think he's gotten for the most part better at quick trigger catch and shoots. Should be more, but certainly better than he had been earlier. You got to add that should be whatever. If there's an off season, his off season should be spent like, I'm going to average like 6 to 8 free throws a game. I'm not asking for like 14.
Six would be wonderful.
Six would be great. Would love six.
Don't when you watch the league, and I'm going to mention players who are especially good at it, but like you're watching Lillard tonight, or you watch Butler, or even you watch Burks, and you're like, man, it's too easy to get to the line.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like you can just sort of like throw your body sideways and
totally.
Get fouled.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think they reward that too much. I think that they reward that too much, and they almost disincentivize contesting. Mm-hmm. Matisse needs to stop fouling. Everybody needs to stop fouling, because like they need to stop fouling, and also like so many, it was less so in this game, although, you know, I Dame dropped 50 on him. And that just like happens because he's Dame, and he was pissed off after what happened with the Clippers, which so like there's only so much you can do, especially without Embiid out there. But man, like stop letting everyone get to the rim. Like, how often do people just get right to the rim against them?
Yeah.
And they're biting on Carmelo's pump fake. Obviously it's a legendary pump fake. He's been getting guys with that for 17 years. But like, if guys want to take a turnaround from 18 feet,
Let him take it.
Put a hand up, contest, but you don't have to jump for it. You're not going to block DeMar DeRozan's turnaround. It's not going to happen. So just contest, get a hand in his face, and if he wants to make it, go make it. But you got to stop just like handing people free foul shots. It's so frustrating.
Well, and there's one more thing on that I'll talk about right after. Mike, I think at some point we have to think about suing the Sixers for the last 7 years of our lives and what they've done to us. I think like we could talk about mental damages that they've done.
Yeah.
And if we ever decide to do it, we're going to do it with Adam Kornblau. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of the process. Actually, I don't think we can sue the Sixers, but he and his mom run the premier boutique personal injury law firm in the Delaware Valley. We got a great Kornblau email. I don't want to say the person's name, but this person sent us an email that they were having a problem with and this isn't even a personal injury case, a problem with a former landlord. Quick update on the case of Kornblau versus my predatory former landlord. The dude did the damn thing. In less than a week, he got my landlord to back down, send us our security deposit back, and agreed to not pursue additional charges.
That's awesome.
Put differently, Adam got my former landlord to admit that, quote, we were right, and that's what it's all about.
I love that.
Adam was truly incredible. He communicated extremely well with us, talked us through every step of the way for no reason other than to help a process truster in need. Adam was all in, and he got the job done. Some quick highlights. He called the opposing lawyer, quote, a putz. He made basketball analogies throughout the legal process, and he told our landlord that we, his clients, were like family, and our issue was, quote, personal to him. despite our main connection being that we both respected a dreamer leading a 10-win basketball team. If not for Adam and the Ricky, I would have folded and paid my landlord several thousands of dollars. Instead, Adam saved me my money, my dignity, and I gained a lawyer I can trust in any future situation. Thanks again. Real email. There you go. Kornblau and Kornblau. If you're injured at all, Kornblau likes to say, don't be a hero. No matter how it happens, work, slip and fall, car accident, whatever it is, Kornblau's your guy. Or if you have a fucked up former landlord, Kornblau can help you. And remember, you're not paying anything unless there's a case and you end up winning money in that case. So it doesn't cost you anything at all. Give him a call, 215-576-7200 to ask for Adam, or email Kornblau at kornblauandkornblau.com. He'll win your case. He'll call the other lawyer a putz. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of the process. The defending thing, and I never have I been more frustrated. Look, Jay Rich had a great game.
Totally.
The end of that game where he, for some reason, feels the need to hound Lillard at half court, and Lillard baits him into that Anwan on the three-pointer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just thinking to myself, like, you remember last time when you said you thought Josh's defense and the attitude was, like, fake? That it was on display right there.
Yeah.
There was nothing smart about the way he was defending.
Yeah. People pick up Lillard at half court because he can pull up from like 45. But like the offense, it's not gonna happen if one screen from Nurkic just all of a sudden blows you out of the play. Horford is dropping, and it's just like, walk into it, man. Keep doing it. Like, why aren't they trying to switch? I don't understand why, like, what the help is in the there was a time, I forget, it was a play that ended in a Carmelo corner three. Mike Scott was in as the backup center, and he really did a good job, or as good of a job as he possibly could on.
It was
a guy
good.
That's,
it was
like,
nice to hit
6 inches and 100 pounds bigger than him.
It was nice to see him hit a shot or two.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually, too.
But Mike Scott's dropping, and Lillard kicks to CJ because Matisse goes to help on Lillard. And it's like, why is the guy coming? Why are you helping off of another shooter to help on a pick and roll? Like, just switch. Just, like, decide to switch. I don't understand. And then so CJ gets the ball, and immediately then Carmelo's guy has to help on CJ and then open Carmelo corner three. It's just like, it's like clockwork for some teams, and the Sixers, there's nothing that's clockwork. It's like if the clock is just keeps getting punched over and over again, you're just begging the clock to, like, keep counting time. For the love of God, keep just ticking along. It's very frustrating. Josh played great. Like, was pretty on fire. Got to the rim a couple times, little step throughs. The shot was just like, he was just feeling it. I think he hit 6 threes. But holy cow. There was this play in the Orlando game that he let DJ Augustine just, like, out-muscle him for a rebound, or, like, just didn't see it. There were so many just, like, loose, stupid plays like that. He hasn't fought around a screen since February.
By the way, DJ Augustine fucking roasted Shake Milton.
Totally. Shake gets, I don't know. I think that you were saying before about how refs call the game, and I think they do. There's so much benefit given to ball handlers when they can just, like, you know, Kyle Lowry does this all the time. Chris Paul does this all the time. Just sort of wizards with the ball of, like, I'm just going to get in front of a guy and then I'm going to stop and you're going to push me over. And like, sometimes if it's egregious, that's like that. But, like, how often is Matisse fighting around a screen to get around Dame, or to get around Nurkic to help on Dame? Nurkic gives him a little shove. Dame pulls up exactly at the three-point line with his tippy toes just behind the line and sticks his ass out. Matisse, like, bumps into it, and then it's just, like, three shots. And it's just, there's got to be some conversation there. There's got to be some changing things up, whether it's like, you have to allow people to contest. I don't know. I think the league should, you know, consider changing refereeing in that sense of just, like, hey, if it's a real shot, then take the shot, but we're not just going to give you just, like, flail, heave, you know, lurching your body in any way and just, like, getting a foul called on you. Or, I mean, they should do that, but if not, you got to, like, they got to change the way that they're defending. And it happens to every team. It's not like just the Sixers, but it seems like for a good team, they are so intent on contesting everything that they foul too much and let guys get walked to the rim, which is, like, that's the worst shot. Free throws, I would rather give up threes that are, like, lightly contested than foul shots or, you know, open drives to the rim because you're, you know, too busy helping onto whatever.
A couple of, before we get, I feel like we owe a few mailbag questions. Before we do, a couple of things that have happened over the last couple of games as well. Hilarious that Neto went from playing like 24 minutes in one game to being the only Sixer that didn't play tonight, aside from Shayok, I think. Like Kylo Quinn played tonight.
Yep.
It shot a three, by the way.
Norvell, I mean, misses a lob from point blank. Like, I don't understand how guys have bad hands. I don't understand. Matisse kind of has bad hands in terms of like catching.
He does.
Like he's got great quick hands, but he's not like soft hands. It just seems like, how do guys have bad hands? What's the problem there? I don't understand. Are they like, are they like weird, like angular things jutting out of them that are prohibiting you from making a simple catch? I don't get it.
And I would also say, if there was ever proof that Simmons, Horford, Embiid is not going to work, Horford's play over the last couple of games, like Horford's been good. I mean, and he's actually, you said this before, but he's not like a perfect complement to Embiid. But I can tell you what, if the other three players on the court were more appropriate, they can certainly play together.
Totally.
Like they're fine together.
Totally. And they have been pretty good together.
Yeah.
He's certainly lost a step. It sucks that he lost a step. That's 100% true. It's undeniable. Whether he's banged up or we just got him right at the worst possible time. The exact time when the milk's gonna turn sour, that sucks. But he certainly has looked better in the past in the bubble than he has before. I think he's shooting with confidence. He's being a little bit more physical. He's getting to his spots around there. He's not doing too many like miss a bunny clap situations, which are very upsetting. So credit where it's due. Definitely some good Al Horford, and they're gonna need him, especially if Joel comes back. If Joel doesn't come back for some reason. If it ends up being like, oh, nope, the foot is lava. Actually, his foot is now lava. Can't play on it. Then,
do we switch teams for the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the OKC pick. I might change my name to it. But if they lose, if Embiid is out, they're not going to win a game. But if he's not, and he decides that he wants to win a couple games, I think they have as good a shot as any. Mediocre team that's not like in the top thing.
It's like, how are you as good a shot as anyone?
As good a shot as I can't keep doing this.
All right. All right. Lorenzo Brown mailbag. Send us emails. writestrickysanchez@gmail.com. This comes from Chris. Imagine how good the Sixers would be if you just surrounded Ben and Embiid with shooters. Like, for example, guys like J.J. Redick, Robert Covington, and Dario Saric. Mm. The real Galaxy brain take is that Colangelo was a far better GM than Elton Brand. Do you think Brian would have made multiple desperate moves to ensure he had like 8 power forwards on the roster? No. He was too busy tweeting from his burner accounts. I'll take burner accounts over poor roster construction every fucking day. Here's my basketball question. Would Colangelo have traded Mikal Bridges for Zaire Smith and the 2021 Miami pick that got us Tobias?
It was the right pick. It was the right trade. It was the right trade because like I loved Mikal. I had him, I'm pretty sure, ranked higher than Zaire, but it's close. Like Zaire was an excellent prospect and many years younger and showed a lot of, like, as far as athleticism goes, could be one of the 20 most athletic players in the league. And the Sixers just like don't have many of those guys. So I'm still excited about Zaire. What's happened to him has been a tragedy. But like when you can drop, was it 8 picks and pick up an additional first round pick? You do it.
Yeah, they just blew they threw away that pick. That's the problem. Is they use that pick and another pick the and Tobias, Shamet for Tobias. Yeah.
There's just no reason. The Tobias trade. Look, I love Tobias. I do. I don't think we talk about him enough. I don't think he gets enough credit. He certainly gets enough money. He doesn't get enough credit. But there's no reason why it had to cost that much. I know we've talked about it before, but there's no reason why we had to pay for an expiring Tobias Harris. That everyone knew that they were going to have to max out or come close to maxing out.
And that the Clippers were never going to sign.
They were never going to sign him to do Shamet and those picks was just like an obnoxious amount. It's just an absolute overpay. And if we had one of those things still, we'd be in such better shape. But the fact that they threw all of them in, like they make such a good trade and such a good pick in Shamet, a guy that I did not believe in at Wichita State. And he comes out and he's like, hey, I can basically masquerade as J.J. Redick, kind of. And with a little bit of ball handling ability also, and I'm quick. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
holy crap, this guy, like, legitimately good right away, playable right away, like, mm-hmm. would help on this team right now. And they traded him as if he was just a player to be named later. And it's just like, yeah. I don't understand why you do go through all the work of getting the right guy and you know, drafting him kind of higher, like, that's certainly higher than he was projected to go. Maybe not much higher, but like 10, 15 picks higher. And then they just be like, oh yeah, we're going to give this to guys so we can max out a guy on an expiring contract that kind of nobody else would. It's very frustrating.
I went back and looked at my 2018 YouTube big board notes. Now, I will combine this and say that Zaire Smith was number 10 on the list, but my notes were great dunker, great athlete, doesn't look like he's awesome at basketball, doesn't look like he can shoot, also bad dribbler.
Yeah, for sure.
Number 10. And then non-basketball question. Spike, what do you think of the movie High Life? I feel like it's right up your alley. I loved High Life. Did you see High Life?
No, I haven't seen it.
Robert Pattinson. It is space movie and it's fucking miserable. It is a very depressing movie. But I love Robert Pattinson's indie turn to like weird fucking movies all the time. Between... what was the one about him and his brother in New York?
Good Time.
And then High Life. And then The Lighthouse. This comes from Avi. Avi. Hey, guys. No process villains is complete without our favorite toad-shaped coach, Stan Van Gundy. But I'm having a problem. I kind of love him now. He was a color commentator for a Sixers game this year and did some of the best analysis I've heard. Plus, his newly activated Twitter account is pretty awesome. Even if you don't agree with his politics, he comes across as thoughtful, caring, and occasionally funny. One, I'd love for you guys to have him on the pod. Two, theoretically, can a process villain become so likable in non-process ways that they're no longer a process villain, or can they graduate to a less hated category of process villain? Your thoughts on Stan Van Gundy, the very thirsty for a job media personality.
I really like Stan, and I think that it would complete a full turn in a really satisfying way of the process fulfilling its destiny to hire someone that was vocally anti-process and that we whipped the floor with. The only coach we would ever beat during the process years was Stan
all the
Van
time.
Gundy.
Yeah,
and I think he's a great color commentator. I there was a clip of Draymond, I think last night talking about like basketball on Inside the NBA. And it's like, how rare is that? It's just so the level of actual analysis that goes on television is so putrid and so awful, like across the board, everybody. I don't even name anybody because it's everyone that like when there's someone like Stan or Draymond that actually makes a good point and is not just like Embiid needs to get in the post more. And it's just like, it's what a gift it is. And so, you know, I think Stan is a solid coach. I think he's certainly, as far as what his pedigree is, going to the championship with Dwight Howard and a bunch of shooters around him seems like a decent prototype for what the Sixers should do with Joel.
Well, what if he said, because you know this is what Stan Van Gundy is probably coming with, what if Stan Van Gundy wants coach and president of basketball operations?
Was he that in Detroit?
He was. But I also think when guys get to that level, now look, it's possible he got that. And like Andy Reid got that. And then he does not have that in Kansas City, though I think he could probably get whatever he wants.
Sure.
I'm just posing the question, would you do it if that's what it took?
I would need to know what the other candidates are. I'm not ready to say it right off. I generally don't like GM coaches. Although when Brett was GM coach for that collaborative, you know, half an off season for the Burners, I do think that it was a ballsy pick for him to do that trade with the Zaire and Mikhail Bridges.
Well, him or Heller. Depends on who decides to take credit for it that day.
Collaborative, David, baby.
Yeah, collaborative. I actually think Stan, I saw the clip that you were talking about with what's his face?
Draymond.
That's fine. I don't love like tons of that, to be honest with you. I forget what quarterback it was. Was doing this thing in his post-game press conferences where he was like breaking down plays for people and everybody was like fawning all over themselves to talk about how wonderful it was. And I was like bored as shit, but I did think the Draymond thing was interesting. And like he pointed out something in a very clear way that you could watch for that I thought was interesting. But Stan as a color guy reminds me of Romo. I think he talks too much. I just wish he'd shut the fuck up a little bit. Like, I just want to go like, Stan, you're going to be talking like this whole time. You're going to get a job. Like, fucking relax. I promise you, you'll get a job. Like, this whole thing.
I don't think he's a guy. I don't know. Maybe I don't have much experience like knowing what people like go to color commentary for.
Yeah.
But he's had a bunch of jobs. It seems like he could kind of do it. He could take a middling job if he wanted to. It doesn't seem like he's like, I don't know. I don't get the thirsty Doug Collins vibes that you seem to get from Stan.
Before we get to our final couple of questions, big news from our original sponsor, LL Pivorsky Jewelers, who somehow is fucking thriving. Numbers 190 and 191. Right, Stricky Sanchez, the listeners who have purchased engagement rings from LL Pivorsky Jewelers. I need to know, since COVID started, how many he's gotten. It feels like 20 in the last 5 months. But, you know, people locked in their homes or staying at home more and figuring out who they love and making that commitment. The original fucking sponsor of the Right, Stricky Sanchez podcast, LL Pivorsky Jewelers. I also can't wait till we get to a world where we can have events again and trips again, because LL always figured out a way to make those things his as well. I was sharing with Tina from Buddha Babe the video and the pictures of the engagement and the wedding at the lottery party, which actually happened. I don't know if you remember those things, but they actually did happen. A couple did get engaged at the lottery party and a couple did get married. People keep going to LL because great guy, great jewelry, no pressure, takes care of all of our listeners. He's the man. Yeah, you can't go to anyone else. Everyone who listens to this pod knows. He can do by appointment in store or at home by like video chat. Give him a call in the store, 215-627-2252 to make an appointment. Email him, lee@llpivorsky.com. The store right there at 707 Walnut in Philly. And of course, he is supporter of our charities, the Providence Animal Center. Bark in the Park team coming, working on that t-shirt. And Providence Animal Center encoded by kids. LL Pivorsky Jewelers.
Start him at point guard.
Might as well. This is a good one from AJ. Oh, and you know what? Michael sent me this email just asking you. You've obviously mentioned the OKC pick. Now, let's say the Sixers lose. Who are the three teams in order of preference that you would like to see win the championship this year? If not the Sixers.
Oklahoma City. What? Rooting for them. Fun to root for them. I like Chris Paul. I love Shai. Nerlens. Come on. Houston.
Yeah.
Gotta go Covington. I also like how hard they play. They're like the scrappy guys. PJ Tucker, I love. Daniel House is great.
Friend of the pod, Daryl Morey.
And hard to pick a the Suns. I love the Suns, man. I really wish the only reason I wanted to win this game tonight was so that we could, you know, open the door for the Suns to get into this play-in game. I'll say the Lakers because of Alyssa.
What? Oh, okay, fine. I didn't remember the Alyssa connection for a second. I was so disgusted.
Yeah.
I'm sure on the YouTube that's a great moment as I made my face. I would go. I'm not considering OKC because I don't think they can win the championship. But Houston. I would actually like to see Toronto win for two reasons. First, I think it would be, first of all, it would shut me the fuck up about a star, like a guy at the end of the game. But I also think it would shove it up the Sixers' ass a little bit. And I think they need to feel that.
That's the goal.
Like the front office and ownership. Like they just, not only did they trade for Kawhi, but they lost Kawhi and then they won the championship anyway.
Yeah.
I don't really, Clippers, I guess. But that's not even a fun team to root for.
Yeah. There's a couple guys on there that I like, but
yeah, I like players on the team. I don't really have another team outside of that.
OKC, water's warm.
Not Miami. Man,
probably not Denver for you.
No. Well, they could never.
I would enjoy, theoretically, I would enjoy Dallas. But when I watch Luka, I just get mad. He's really good, but he should not be that good. He should not be that hard to guard.
He's not that hard to guard. He is. Matters, I mean,
they have the best offense of all time, statistically.
We'll see in the playoffs.
Totally. I'm excited for a Mavs-Clippers series. I've been watching so much basketball. So much. We almost did something else today, and we didn't. And so we just watched more basketball. That's the story.
Your video is gone, but I can still hear you, right? Mm. You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from AJ. If DraftKings had to put odds on events most likely to happen for Sixers events in the process era, what odds would they have given the following? Burnergate.
Off the board.
Fultz for getting out of shoot.
Let's alter that slightly and say, like, after the reports in September that he's, like, tinkering with his shot, what are the odds of him never regaining it? I think probably like 50 to 1.
Yeah. And that's even after he was tinkering.
Right.
Simmons refusing to shoot a three. I would put 1,000 to 1.
When? At what point are the odds set? When they drafted him?
From the beginning. Yeah.
I don't think 1,000 to 1. I mean, he's not refusing in the sense that, like, he does it a little bit, kind of. I think it would have been like, if to say he'd have this many actual threes in his career after three seasons, which is what? He's had like 6 threes, actual ones? They count heaves, but they shouldn't.
No, if you're not counting heaves, it was there's only been three, right? The Knicks one, there were two during the regular season, and then the one in the last game.
I can't remember what's a scrimmage and what's not, and who's the Guangdong Long Lions and who's not.
That just as a reminder, the Guangdong Long Lions are not in the NBA, so that did not count.
Genuinely can't be sure of that.
All right, three more. Zaire sesame allergy. Seems like the most likely of all of them, actually, because people do have sesame allergies.
Yeah, I have a very bad nut allergy, so I probably would have taken the odds on that. But a sesame allergy that causes them to lose 50 pounds and potentially die, let's say 300 to 1.
Canceling the Kings game because the floor was wet.
We don't talk about that amount enough. That's probably like 800 to 1 or something. You know, they talked about the Zach Lowe brought up the confetti game.
I heard him talking about it. He was talking about it. Was it with Jeff Van Gundy or Pablo? I couldn't remember. I think it was Jeff.
It's
Van Gundy.
The confetti game has a real warm, soft spot in my heart.
Jeff Van Gundy, by the way, basically roasting the Sixers, saying, he said,
he's definitely not a flip-the-switch guy.
No, he was like, I don't think they're that talented.
They certainly are talented. They're just not, they don't play talented. Yeah. They have a collection of talented people who are not a good basketball team.
And then finally, Greg Monroe starting a playoff game.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have taken that too.
And then the last question, this came from Jim, and we're going to have to do some investigating on this because this is the second email I've gotten about this, and I have not done it, but I need to. This is from Jim. Spike and Mike, the story was brought to my attention by my brother Casey, who follows hockey much closer than I do. Bear with me. On a recent episode of the Spit and Chicklets podcast, the host talked about a recent situation with the Phoenix Coyotes and their now former GM, John Chyka. Chyka basically terminated his contract with the Coyotes, which had 3 years left on his deal, and is apparently being signed by Josh Harris's sports ownership company, who obviously own the New Jersey Devils as well. Chyka is considered an analytic salary cap whiz in hockey circles. The host of the podcast made it seem like Chyka is not being hired to work just with the Devils specifically, but possibly in analytics oversight for all of the teams under the Harris umbrella. Hmm. Maybe you guys have heard something already, but I found it interesting. Maybe a sign of more changes to come in the Sixers front office. Interested to hear what you guys think.
No.
So that is a Jim from First Class. Was that the Jim that was sitting next to me on the plane? This is the second time I've heard about it. I will tell you by the next pod, I will have some like updates on this, but I've heard the same thing, that he is going to have like sort of a bigger role with the Harris Blitz, which with HB, whatever the fuck it is. The Harris Blitzer.
The Sixers will finally start HBSC. Scoring hockey goals. Points. They will. Yeah. Their offense will be a 4-point offense. They will win games 4-3.
One of when sports came back, Elliot for WIP wrote an article for 94WIP.com that had 132 sports takes for every day we didn't have sports. And one of them was, when hockey fans scream, shoot the puck, they're right. And it was like one of my favorite takes of all time. Mm. They do seem right. You might as well shoot. Well, we have two games before the next pod, right? Who's Tuesday? Wednesday is Toronto. Hold on. Let's see.
Phoenix, right?
Yes, Phoenix and then Toronto. Look, all I hope is that Joel comes back. I hope we don't have a serious, because it made me nervous when I saw ankle, and I remember, you remember when Ben broke his foot.
Yeah.
It was, they called it a twisted ankle at first. So
was the one he landed on Sean Long's foot. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
guys, we've been crossed. Here before. We know what to do. We'll be upset, and then they'll play a little bit well, and then we'll delude ourselves into believing in it. And then we'll do this whole thing over again. What a horrible decision we've all made. Awful.
The worst. We can't get out. Have you seen we watched movie Vivarium last night. Have you seen that?
No.
Well, then I can't make the comparison. But it does seem like a thing that we should be able to get out of very easily that we can't get out of. All right. Well, we'll talk to you Wednesday. Are you down with TTP?
Mm. Yeah, you know, look face.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me,
then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.